How about we pray? Lord, we thank you for your grace and your loving kindness. We thank you for this day, for it's yet another chance to get it right. Lord, we ask that you guide and direct all of your ministers this day, wherever they may be. And for all those that would hear, we ask that you open up their ears, their hearts, and their understanding, that they yet might receive that which you have for them. In your name we pray. Amen. How about some music, guys?
Sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna. Hosanna, sing Hosanna to the King.
One more time.
Give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning, burning, burning. Give me oil in my lamp, I pray. Give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning, burning, burning. Keep me burning till the break of day. Sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna. Sing Hosanna to the King of Kings. Sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna to the King.
Give me oil
in my lamp, keep me burning, burning, burning. Give me oil in my lamp, I pray. Give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning, burning, burning. Keep me burning till the break of day. Sing Hosanna. Sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna to the King of Kings. Sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna to the King.
Praise the Lord. Let's give the Lord a cheer, huh? You guys take a seat. All right. Good morning again. Wow, it's not very lively out there today, is it? That's all right. All right, last week we talked about believe and how critical that was. And the other side of that coin is receive. Now, you can't receive a thing unless you believe a thing. Amen? Now, if we want to receive the good things of God, which it would seem it is an important thing, because again, I looked at that the search thing on the Bible. Receive appears 341 times in the Bible, even more than believe. And like I said last week, if by two or more witnesses is anything established, again, this appears to be an important thing. I mean, I got to thinking about it, as I often do, and I mean, one way to look at it is, do you want to be blessed or do you want to be cursed? And there's only two options. And it's your choice. If you want to receive blessings, you can receive them. If you don't, well, you can be cursed. Let's turn over to, let's go to John chapter 1. And I'm going to read down, I don't know, a period of time here and see what it is. All right. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. That's John the Baptist. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. And wow, you know, he was in the world, and the world was made by him. He created the world, and yet the world knew him not. That's something. He came in unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Now, if you receive Jesus, you can be blessed. You can become the sons of God, or daughters, for those of you women out there. I mean, God loves you. Jesus loves you. He will not hurt you unless you reject him. And then he has to cast you into hell because of your choices. because you chose the things of this world instead of the things of God. Let's move over to 1 John. Let me find. I read this morning. Where was I? 1 John chapter 1. Oh, hold on. Yep, 1 John chapter 1. I'm going to read starting at 5. Let's start over because I've already messed it up. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. All right, let's zip over to Romans quick. One last thing here. And this might bring it together, we'll see. Romans chapter 10, starting at 9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Amen. Now look, we are all sinners, every single one of us, whether you know it or not. We all need forgiveness. If you want to be saved, then you need to receive that forgiveness completely. I know that I have trouble believing at some points that, you know, I've been forgiven. You know, because there's skeletons in that closet, or, you know, a laundry list of things that I don't like to look at. But, you know, it's kind of like that dead cat we were talking about during convention, you know. From time to time, I go back to it and I pull it out. And I take a peek. And it's pretty gross. But we have to be able to receive that forgiveness from Jesus. And just know that there isn't anything that we can do to remove that sin from us. And if you receive Christ, you do what you're told, forget all about that, quote, religion, and all the things of the world and these theories that folks have, and just realize that there's nothing you can do except concentrate upon one objective, right? Get yourself right with God. Jesus is the Savior, and he alone can forgive your sins. Believe it and receive it. Amen. How about we do another song?
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. To see you high, lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing holy.
Oh, praise the Lord. Give the Lord a cheer this morning. Welcome those online and those that are here. Please turn to chapter 13 in Matthew. Now, I'm wondering, as I always do before service, what in the world am I going to preach on? I don't have a clue. But as always, the Lord gives me a little kernel of something, an idea. And then it grows into something more. Started off with this little kernel here in chapter 13. Same day, starting verse 1. The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside. And great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat. And the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. We've all heard this before. I'm sure everybody's heard the seed and the sower. Amen. And to go forth and to sow, this sower, he didn't look to see who he was sowing at. He didn't go to see if they were worthy or not. He didn't go to see if they were ready or not. He just went forth through the seed. Some fell on the wayside. Some fell on the rocks. Some fell in the thorns and some fell on good ground. I'm making it short for you. The one on the wayside, the thousand ears, just picked it up, tossed it. They never heard it. The ones that fell on the rock, they heard it. They were happy. They were glad. Hee-haw, let's go party in the Lord. Have a great time. But the first time something happened, the first time a little tribulation came along on them, the first time something hard hit, they were through. They gave up. They didn't have the root to stand, the faith to stand. Some fell among the thorns and the thistles, and this reminds me of most Christians. They start out good. And if you read it, it says they became unfruitful. They might have been fruitful in the beginning. They might have been excited in the beginning. But as time wore on, they just become worthless. Why? Because that faith was choked out by the cares of the world, deceitfulness of riches. What are the cares of the world? The cares of the world is fear. The word care as a noun is fear, worry, mental anguish, mental torment. We all go out in the world and somebody will say to you, take care, guy. You say, oh yeah, I'll take care. And does not the word of God say out of the mouth of two or more witnesses, shall anything be established? So they say, take care. You say, okay, well, why are you all upset? Because things don't go right. I remember we come out here 10 years ago, maybe a little longer now, I don't know. Yeah, just a little longer than 10 years ago. Yeah. And we're out here, I'm over here at gas station up there on exit 49. And what was that guy's name? Barry. He says, take care. I said, no thanks. He said, what do you mean? I said, care is fear. I don't want none of that crap. Oh, well, I didn't mean that. I said, doesn't matter what you meant. It matters what you say. Out of the mouth comes the things of the heart. Now, you may, in your mind, think you're saying take care of yourself. Care there is a verb. But when you say take care, you're telling me to take fear, and I'm not going to agree with that. And time passed, and about 2 years went by, and I grew weary of telling him, oh, no, thank you. Because he constantly would say, take care, and get a little grin on his face. And I grew weary of it. And I stopped saying, no, thank you. And it wasn't very long after that. Man, things started going wrong here. All kinds of stuff went wrong. And then I realized, it was my fault. So next time I went in there and he said, take care, I said, nope, not going to do it. I had enough of it. And from that moment, things started getting better again. You don't understand or know the power of words sometimes. But then he goes on, and I'm going to get down here. That the deceitfulness of riches is thinking money is going to solve all your problems. I got to have money to serve the Lord. I don't need money to serve the Lord. I got a tater trap. All I got to do is use it. I got feet. Use them. If you want to serve God, he's given you everything you need to serve him. Some falls on a good ground, they bring forth fruit. Now here he's talking about, I want to spend a little time, if you don't mind, on this fruit that falls, the seed that falls on the good ground. Because if we go a little further, we're going to come to another parable. And this parable is going to hit upon that seed. Another parable, verse 24, put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. Now, I want to stop here for a minute, because see, it's interesting. You can't tell the difference between tares and wheat until the fruit comes in. See, wheat is a golden fruit, and it points upward. Tares is a purplish, blackish fruit, and it bends downward. The fruit of the wheat points up to heaven. The fruit of the tares point back to the earth. Wheat is good to eat. It gives you life. Tares is a poison. It will kill you. But they didn't know the tares were there until they started bringing forth fruit. Now watch this. So the servants of the household came and said unto him, Sir, didst thou not sow good seed in thy field? From whence then came it tares? He said unto them, An enemy hath done this. The servants said unto him, Wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, Nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up the wheat with them, also the wheat with them. Let both grow up together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, Gather ye together the first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. I've had people ask me sometimes, why does God allow the evil to go on in the world? Why does God allow some of this stuff going on in the world that is so bad? It's not the time of the harvest. It's not the time of the harvest. How can you tell the good seed from the bad seed if you don't have one to compare the other to? You want to know what religion is a true religion? It's easy. Find the religion that points to Jesus Christ. Any religion, I don't care what name it is, that points to any other thing, is a tear. If a religion points to Jesus and the cross, it's good seed. It's wheat. But if it points to man, or to a building, or to a denomination, or any religion, or anything whatsoever, it's of the tares. Now, let me take you, if you will, over to Genesis real quick. In Genesis chapter 4, my Bible's coming apart. I think I need to get it fixed. I'm going to show you where the first seed of wheat and tare was sown. Chapter 4, verse 1, And Adam knew Eve his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. Now, who would have ever figured or who would have ever thought that some fat old preacher would stand up and say, that's when the first seed was sown of the wheat and the tare? How do I know that? Let's read on. And in process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offerings. But unto Cain and to his offering, he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth? Why is thy countenance fallen? In other words, what's the matter, dude? What's your problem? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desires, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him. Now, was Cain wheat or tare? He was a tare. Abel was the wheat. There's nothing changed. Nothing has changed. The tare is still trying to destroy God's wheat. It can do it under many names. Some names are easy to spot. Some names are easy to see. Some are hard to see unless you go by the Word. unless you understand the Word of God. Now, let's go over one more time. Let's go one more place. To Philippians, chapter 3. If nothing else, you'll learn where places are in your Bible if you don't know already. Just before Colossians, right after Ephesians. Chapter 3, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me, indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision. I mean, he's not talking very nice to these dudes, is he? What are these dudes? The concision. In this case, it was those Jews who followed the law. It was the Jews that followed after the law. He called them dogs, evil workers. For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. All right, now watch this. The wheat has confidence in God. The tares have confidence in the flesh. See, why was it that God did not accept Cain's sacrifice? Did he not curse the ground and all that comes from the ground? So how then, if God curses the ground, how then could he accept the sacrifice that came from Cain? He couldn't. He couldn't accept it. He had to reject it. Amen? So, Abel, on the other hand, offered that which came from God, the lamb, which represented Jesus. You want salvation? Offer the lamb. Huh? You offer the righteousness of God. You offer the lamb. You want to go to hell? Trust in your flesh. Trust in your church. Trust in your preacher. Trust in your mother. Trust in your father. Trust in anything other than Jesus. Got to put trust in Jesus Christ. Let's read on. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any man, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the 8th day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews. As touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is of the law, blameless. I know I couldn't claim any of that. But what things were gained to me, those I count loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them dung. Do I have to explain what dung here is in this point? It's doo-doo. That I may win Christ. And here's the kicker. And be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Now, we had a conference a while back. And on the conference, we studied how to war good warfare, how to be strong in the faith. What was the word? What was the theme? Endure hardness as a good soldier. It was brought up earlier in one of the other meetings that Most people, when they accept Jesus Christ, don't realize they're joining an army. You mentioned this morning, as many as believed on him, gave he them the power to become the sons of God. Most people don't realize the sons of God there doesn't mean a kid. It means a soldier, an angel. The sons of God always refers to the angels of God. And the angels of God are God's army. So if he gave you power to become a son of God, an angel of God, then he gave you power to become a soldier. And if he gave you power to become a soldier, that doesn't mean you sit in a trench with your butt in the air and your head in the ground. You will die or at least get shot in the butt. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to get shot in the butt. And you can't see the enemy coming with your face in the sand. I want to have as much as possible on my side to defeat that sucker. Amen? Now, I could go on and on, but I know some of you guys would like to get something to eat. Other than these words that I'm speaking, although these words are probably better for you. But the bottom line is, folks, when you become a child of God, you have to realize it's a 24-hour-a-day job. It's a job where you seek the Lord continuously. You seek his righteousness by faith. See, there were two righteousnesses. When God created Adam, he didn't create a naked man out there in the bush. Adam wasn't naked when God created him. Oh, I know the churches say he was. Oh, man was created naked. No, later on he was found naked. Doesn't say he was created naked. It said he was found naked. You look at nature. Didn't Jesus even say the lilies of the field are clothed greater than Solomon in all his glory? Everything God created was clothed. Everything, including man. And that included Adam as well. So what happened? He was clothed with the righteousness of man. And when he ate of the tree of knowledge between good and evil, he lost it. And man's been trying to get it back ever since. But only one man came and got it back. And that was the man Jesus. He came back and being perfect in all ways and being perfect in obedience to the Father and being perfect even to the death on the cross, being perfected through that death, going into hell, paying a price for you and me, and resurrecting from the dead, Jesus Christ took back the righteousness of man. And then went back into heaven and took back the righteousness of God, which was his from the beginning. And now Jesus, wearing two cloaks, the cloak of righteousness of God and the cloak of righteousness of man, when you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, he sees your nakedness. And the law, and the word says that in the law, that if your brother is naked and you have two cloaks, you got to give him one. Well, Jesus isn't going to give you the righteousness of man because that has to be earned through the law. And no man can do that. Only Jesus did that. So he gives you something better. He gives you the righteousness of God. He clothes you in the righteousness of God. But you can only remain in that clothing by faith, and that faith in Jesus Christ. Nothing else. Nothing else. And when you have that faith, then you're in a place to begin to understand the things that God does. And you begin in a place where you can start walking in the knowledge of God and in the power of God. And then people will see a difference. Like I say, go out and preach the gospel to every creature. And if you have to, use words. your actions will speak louder than words. How will they know you're God's disciple? You're Jesus' disciple. Your love, one for another. A man says he loves God and hates his brother, he's a liar. He's a liar. You cannot love God and hate your brother. If you hate someone that is a Christian, get over it. Ask God to forgive you. And whatever they've done, it doesn't matter what they've done, forgive them. And then walk in love. Amen? Turn to somebody and tell them you love them in the name of Jesus. Singers, come on up here and sing a song.
Sorrows, I'm trading my shame. I'm trading my pain. I'm laying it down for the joy of the Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord, amen. I'm pressed but not crushed, persecuted, not abandoned, struck down but not destroyed. I'm blessed beyond the curse, and His promise will endure. His joy is gonna be my strength. Though the darkness may last for a night, His joy comes in the morning. I'm trading my sorrows, I'm trading my pain. I'm laying them down for the joy of the Lord. I'm trading my sickness, I'm trading my pain. Yes, Lord, amen.